The world is on fire. You feel this, I'm guessing. It is literally and figuratively. The other day, a friend asked on Facebook, "Is anyone else walking around as if things were normal and knowing all the time that they're not?" I'm not just talking about the state of our climate and the dire situation that we're in when it comes to life as we know it. I'm also talking about gun violence, the dehumanization of people on our southern borders, including the deaths of several children, parents and children separated from each other and kept in cages. I'm talking also about our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, asexual, gender fluid, non-binary siblings and cousins and youth and young adults who are non-conforming and then marginalized and ostracized and sometimes killed in a society that values heteronormativity. I'm talking about the rights of women and their choices around medical care and what they can do with the bodies that belong to them alone. I'm talking about how the guys who do those mass shootings often make it through alive, while a black social worker is killed by police while he's trying to assist a mentally ill patient who's expressing symptoms. And I'm talking about those with mental and physical health challenges that can't afford or don't have access to adequate care, and that there are too many places without clean and safe drinking water. I'm talking about black and brown people who are killed at a traffic stop or on a sidewalk or harassed or passed over for jobs or mistreated in those jobs. And I'm talking about all those things too numerous to name that keep us on edge almost all the time these days. One morning last year, I think it was last year, it could have been 2 years ago, I woke up and was lying in bed preparing to go into D.C. for yet another march or another action or another vigil. And I got so angry because that is not what I want to have to be doing with my time. I don't want any of us to have to spend time protesting or doing vigils for injustice, because how much brighter would our world be if we were all free to just bring who we are and be generative and creative in this life? If the world could be a place where our gifts could just be received. There are those who say that we won't make it, that it will take a total collapse of society and a rebuilding. And there are those who say that what we're fighting for now is each other, that we're fighting to keep our humanity intact, and that how we treat ourselves and each other is the true measure of who we are. This is no time for a casual faith. These are the words of UUA President Susan Frederick Gray, "No time for a casual faith," after she had experienced the complicity of the police in upholding the white nationalist in Charlottesville, and the terror and trauma of being face-to-face with both self-appointed militia and white supremacists. She states in her 2018 General Assembly sermon, "This is no time for a casual faith or a casual commitment to your values, your community, your congregation, your soul, and your faith. As Unitarian Universalists, we are first and foremost religious communities that practice love as our foundation. We are living in times of heartbreak, violence, and pain. And in this time, we need communities that remind us of our humanity." Sometimes I think it will take everything in me everything I have, all my reserves and my resilience to make it through these times. This is when I must muster up all that is in me, all my courage, and commit to doing what this faith, what Unitarian Universalism, asks of me. It's no time for a casual faith, and no time to be casual about our values, because our faith and our values are needed here. Those values of justice, equity, and compassion, of a goal of world community with peace, justice, and liberty for all. Now, truth be told, we Unitarian Universalists live those values imperfectly. Isn't it grand that we can be imperfect? We're at a crucial point in our history. We are being asked as a faith to work to dismantle systems of white supremacy, both within our own structures and congregations and in the larger society. And you can go ahead and just note that in that system of white supremacy are the reasons that we are experiencing the climate change that we are now. Greed and corruption. I saw a quote that said, it was Gus Speth, who said that they looked at the data, scientists looked at the data, and they thought that, you know, with careful research and with presenting the facts and getting people on board, that they could remedy this climate situation, right? And he said, but what we didn't realize is that it's not an environmental problem. It's a greed and corruption kind of problem. And scientists don't do that. They're not about the morals and the care and the faith and the compassion and what calls us into community and to care for each other. So doing this work in our own congregations is something that we, I feel, have a good chance of being able to do. So let me say another word here about those words, white supremacy. And if you've heard those words, and if you identify as white, and if you have said something like, well, I just wish they would use another word. I don't like being called a white supremacist. Or I just don't like that term. It makes me feel bad. It's kind of like going to a person who's lying wounded on the ground and saying, oh my gosh, I have trauma. And you saying, okay, I'll help you, but just don't use that word trauma, right? So I want you to ask yourself, and I say this with love in my heart for all of us, ask ourselves this: are my feelings of being hurt by this term more important than the harm that is actually happening to people because of white supremacy? And I'm going to answer for you and tell you that that answer is no. No, you are not experiencing, if you are a white person, the harm of marginalization, of violence against you, of dehumanization. You will most likely not be killed because of the color of your skin. It's possible that what you are experiencing is being decentered for probably the only or one of the first times in your life, and I know this because I've experienced it. I had a friend so dear to my heart, a young black woman. She was one of my students in campus ministry in San Diego. She moved to Chicago, and that was great because when I studied in Chicago and I would go there for classes, we would get together, and I was so happy to see her. And then Ferguson happened. And Eric Garner happened. And there was just no way that these things could not come to the forefront and be dealt with, especially in our faith. And she said to me on one of my trips there, she said, right now, I don't want to work at this. I just want to be angry. I just want to be angry. And I have to respect that. And then she was. And she would post these things on Facebook about white women and how terrible we were. And I was one. And I am one. And I was so hurt. And I just wanted to say, look, this is not the way to go about this. I'm your friend. I'm on your side. I'm one of the good ones. Well, fortunately for me, I have a group that I talk to and can ask these kinds of questions of. And I took it to them. It's a Facebook group. There are six of us in it. And I took it to them and I said, I explained what was happening and I shared one of her posts. And they responded back to a person and they said, yeah, Alice, you got a little white fragility going on there, honey. And I did. I could see it, but I could only see it when someone confirmed it and said, yes, this is yours to work out. It's not hers. She gets to be angry like that. Look at that injustice. So let me say again from this pulpit that white supremacy is a culture. Racism is a system that we are all in. We think of it as individual acts, one person to another, but that's not what it is. It's a system that we all live in. It's much larger than those individual acts. And that's why another reason this is no time for a casual faith. Because our faith and the world is asking us to do things differently. Our larger faith is asking us to center those voices on the margins, to bring those voices from people of color in our faith and the voices of those who are transgender and of those who are disabled. Our faith is saying it is time now, time for all of us to thrive, to take ourselves into the wellness of our lives, all of us, to decenter whiteness that's been at the center for so long, and to center those voices that have been on the margins. And I will tell you that by our larger faith, I don't mean our Unitarian Universalist Association. What is calling us to this work are those people in our faith who are black and brown and transgender and disabled. Those are the voices that are crying out in pain and passion and love for this faith that belongs to all of us. Those folks are sharing with me, their stories and their trauma and their pain and their creativity and their poetry and their music. And they're saying, listen, we are here. But the tricky thing then about that system, about that white supremacy system, is that it wants to keep the status quo. It wants to recenter whiteness. It will ask, but what about me? What about how I feel? Or you'll say things like, it's really hard to be a white man right now. I just don't know what's okay anymore. I get that. But your pain about this is not greater than what people of color have experienced all these years. But hear me say again, I have been there. I am still there. This is not something we get and we're one and done. I constantly work through. I'm constantly looking at myself. I'm constantly watching what comes up in me. And finding somehow the courage to speak out against this. I'm a part of a Facebook group that is from the county where I grew up. And it's a then and now, and it's supposed to be about history. Well, one of the things that's recently happened in the county is that the commissioners voted to take down the Confederate statue that's at the courthouse. It's a, the town is, has a, the very center of town is where the courthouse is, and there's a traffic circle around it. And I have watched that, I have watched actually pigeons poop on that statue all my life. And so they voted to take it down, and so then the white nationalists are showing up, those that say it's about their heritage and their history and their pride. And so they posted that there was going to be this prayer vigil, right? This prayer vigil. And they were to bring their Confederate flags, and they're going to put up, I'm sure you've seen this on some of the highways, one of those huge, huge poles with a huge, huge flag on it. And there were some people who were saying, this is terrible, and others who were supportive, and I couldn't not say anything. So I said, I want to support those of you who live there who are speaking out against this. And I'm really disappointed that this is happening in the county where I grew up. Well, the backlash was pretty strong. So far I've been called a racist, told that I'm stirring up trouble, and that I'm the problem in big capital letters. There's something else I was going to say about that. It is really hard for whiteness not to be centered in this society. And it is our work right now to center other voices and other people. What we'll want to do is we'll want to hear their stories, and we'll want to decide if it's valid or if it's true. And that's not our work. Our work is to believe the stories, to believe what they say, to trust other people's experiences, and to trust their stories. This casual faith, a casual faith does not require deep trust, but our faith in these times does require deep trust. Deep trust of the universe, and deep trust of each other, and deep trust of ourselves. Martin Luther King said that it would call for a powerful, overflowing goodwill, a universal love of humanity. Can our hearts embody a practice and practice a deeper, unbounded, unconditional, overflowing, audacious love for all humanity? I would really like for us to be that and do that for each other. I'm going to leave you with a line from Reverend Teresa Soto, which is, and then a poem, "Everything is on fire, but all is not lost." And from the inspiration of that line, Reverend Karen Johnston writes, "Worlds are on fire, perhaps your corner of the world, or yours, mine sometimes, sure, ours more and more, the whole wide world ablaze. Fire or not, this is no time to shrink or shirk. While despair or grief may enter the room of your heart, it is not the only occupant there. There is more to you and more to us than that sticky residue of pain. Your heart keeps company with ancestors who lent you deep wisdom, abiding love, scientific curiosity, wellsprings of compassion, and humor when all else fails. It is time to connect, to feel the deep truth of no separation. It is time to thrive, though there are times you doubt that it's possible. This thing is our thing. This time is our time. It is to this moment each are called and all are called. Call to hope or not. Call to heal beyond borders. Call to resist, insist, persist. Call to hold back the flames. Everything is on fire, but all is not lost. Amen and blessed be.